else, but my Zoom upgraded. Oh, thank you, Chase. The sticky note came through.
Yes, it does. I can take it off my screen now.
So let's go ahead and call this meeting order at 6:04 on the 10th on my clock and make introductions. I think we've said good evening to everybody on the screen. I don't think we missed anybody. I'll just go through. I see Len and Kyle and Aaron, Chase, Bob, Debbie, Gary, Jeremy, Jeff Condit, and Jeff Winker, Karen Kessie, Amanda Hoyt, and Marie Gadotti, and myself. So welcome, everybody. Thanks for being here. It's much darker at 6 o'clock on this meeting than it was at the last meeting. So
yes.
Oh, man, it's really screwing me up. But let's go ahead and kick off like we normally do. Is there any public comment that anybody would like to bring up at this point in time?
Yes, Rob. This is Marie.
Okay, go ahead, Marie. Fire away.
Okay, once just a preference. I notice now we're using military time versus regular time in the minutes. Can we go back to regular time? Did anybody else notice that?
Military time. I'm sorry, Marie. Go ahead.
Sorry, I run everything on military time. So that's from fire department habits. That's what I do it as.
Can we change it back to regular time? It's easier for us to follow.
Yeah, I guess.
Thank you. Okay, so my second comment, I was not at the last meeting. And so my comment is about the minutes of the September 8th meeting, and I will state right out, it's not a landowner's whatever to amend the minutes, so I'm not suggesting that it is. But I would like some lead from Rob or whoever to a landowner who sees something that has been written in the minutes that doesn't reflect what was said, and it's very vague. And what it's about is Andrew Janke and Marie Gadotti felt the Santosh Evans water level was way too high, and that's all that's in the minutes. I gave a lengthy explanation. Andrew gave a lengthy explanation of what the issue was. And so my question is, what is the process? What does a landowner do to make sure that in the minutes at some point all of the concerns were listed that were listed that night?
Yeah, that's a good question. So if I'm understanding your question correctly, it's more about essence, you know, capturing the essence of the, you know, of the comment, as opposed to just kind of highlighting the topic of the comment.
Yeah, because the topic is very vague and can mean anything or nothing, and it doesn't reflect. And I'll just give you a couple things. Why, and again, I thank Rob for coming out, and I believe, I'm not speaking for Andrew, so I'm going to be very, very careful, but I thought he thanked Chase for coming out. So there was way more to this than us just talking about the ditch level high and trees in the ditch and stuff like that. So I want to know what's the process. What is the process for us to make sure those things get into the minutes correctly and actually reflect what the whole thing was about?
Sure. No, I think I understand. I understand your point. So I have two things that come to mind that we're trying to accomplish is we kind of been bouncing around as far as people have been taking minutes. We've had Amanda do some, I've done a little bit, Chase has done a little bit, Karen's done a little bit. So we're still kind of, I guess you could say, in the feeling out period of trying to find out what the best mode for capturing the minutes is. And now what we're able to do is instead of just scribbling notes down and trying to capture the essence of the comments in the moment, we're recording the Zoom meetings now so we can go back. I think on the last meeting was the first time Chase was able to go back and listen to the recording and then try to put more detail to the minutes. Because in the spur of the moment, you know, we just try to capture the high points and any actions that were taken. There's not really any feelings or any emotion or anything else that's kind of captured, and they're kind of vague. But from a landowner's point of view, what I would do, you know me pretty well. I'm usually kind of straight to the point. So I would call me, and if you see something in the minutes that isn't right, if you're not on the next meeting, obviously, but just call me directly, and we'll take a look at them and see if we need to get them changed before we approve them. I at the end of the day, I just want to make sure, and I'm not speaking for the whole board, I'm just, this is my own point of view, but I want to make sure that the action items are captured and the things that we do are captured more than anything. And I know that by doing that, sometimes some of the emotional side of it or the compliments or anything else that's mixed in with that one action item, sometimes that gets missed. So I apologize for that.
Well, I want to make sure that this isn't an emotional part. This is the fact of what happened. So I get what you're saying, but I just want to make sure that we can come back and say, wait a minute, this is really what was said. And this is, that's why my question is, I get that you guys are recording them now, but you didn't at that meeting. And so again, the process, I can call you, but I still want to at some point to get that corrected, because it really says something in my mind. It can mean one thing, which is totally opposite of what it was all about. And I don't know if Andrew's on the call. I don't know if anybody's talked to Andrew. I don't know if he's seen the minutes, but I'm sure that he would have more to say than what that said. So if you would like, I can put it down in writing, and like I had for that night, and give it to you. But again, I realize I can't correct the minutes. So there's got to be a process during public comment for our comments to be written down as accurate as possible. So that's my concern for that night and going forward. So.
Understood. Yep, understood. So I appreciate the feedback, and we'll call, I'll have to think on it, and we'll come up with some type of a way to make sure that we have a system in place to where that's, if an issue like this pops up, that we have a way of closing that circle. So I appreciate it. Thank you, Marie.
And I couldn't make the last meeting, so yes, there's a meeting in between, but that just happens.
No, that's right. I appreciate you bringing it up. Does anybody else have any public comment too? Or Marie, was that all the public comment you had, or was there something else?
You really want more?
I got all night. No, I'm kidding. I appreciate you. Thank you. Anybody else that has any public comment? Now's the time.
I'm going to, so I muted Debbie because she was, I'm not sure what she was doing, but it was coming through. I don't know if it's keeping her muted. So I'm going to ask to unmute and see if she can remute in case she has something to say. Doesn't appear so. Okay.
Well, thank you.
Am I unmuted?
Oh, yeah. There
okay.
It is.
Oh, there you are.
Sorry. No, go ahead and mute me. That's fine. It's not working functionally, so I apologize for being disruptive.
No, I didn't know if I muted you, if you could unmute yourself. So that was, I was just checking.
Okay, well, let's go ahead and jump into, we'll definitely need to have some more discussion, and we can do that as the time goes on for the what Marie brought up. So we'll do that, but let's move on to number three, the agenda approval. So at this point in time, I think, nope, there's the agenda. Thank you, Chase. So I think we need a motion to approve the agenda as written, correct?
Are we going to be adding an item under legal to just give an update on the meeting that's coming up with EIC and Western Resources Legal?
Yeah, it's a good point. I intended on bringing that up. Did I in the president's meeting? No, I did not. No, we should do that.
Is that okay with you, Chase?
Yeah, that's fine.
So that would be 7IB.
Yes. We can just cover it under legal. It's just, it'll over kind of the umbrella. It should cover that.
Okay.
Yeah, good point. Okay. Anybody want to make a motion to approve that with that change?
I'll move to approve the agenda with the change of adding 7IB.
Anybody second?
Second.
Thank you, Gary. Okay, let's go ahead and vote. All in favor for approving the agenda as written, with the exception for 7B for Western Resources update. All in favor say aye. Aye.
Wait a minute. I think I was supposed to say 7I, two little i's. I don't know. I can't, I don't, I need to put my glasses on. Sorry. But anyway, Seth and I do look like, whatever.
Aye.
All right. I think everybody said aye. Gary, I think I heard you too.
Yes.
All right. Perfect. All right. So the agenda is approved with that change. I made a note of that as well. Let's jump into the meeting minutes approval. So we have some minutes to approve from October 13th, right, Chase? Oh, there they are.
Yes.
Has anybody had a chance, or should I say, has everybody had a chance to look this over? Is there any changes that need to be made? Not hearing any. Okay.
So I do have one question, and this is going to be to Jeff Condit. With the associated documents that we included in the bottom of this, one thing I did leave out was that I mentioned at the beginning that the meeting was being recorded, and I guess we need some guidance, if you will, is how do we include the associated documents, being that the meeting was recorded, and I know we have to hold on to those meeting recordings. Do we just make a note that the meeting recordings are stored on a flash drive, or do we say, we can't really put a recording in the meeting minute folder, if you will. So I don't know what's the protocol here.
I don't think you need to have it listed under associate documents. I might put in the agenda, and I think it's already there, that the meeting is recorded and people may access copies of the recording by sending an email to the chief or looking online. A lot of jurisdictions post their recorded meetings online, and I don't know if we have the capability of doing that, but that's definitely the most convenient way for the public to access them if we can do it.
I think we can, so that might not be a bad idea. We pay for unlimited storage for our website, so we might as well use it.
Yeah, and obviously you want to keep a copy somewhere in some electronic format in the district as well, not just online in case it crashes.
Okay.
But otherwise, you treat a recording for the purposes of the public meetings records retention schedule the same way you would do meeting minutes, and I think they're perpetual. So you do need to have some long-term storage capability for those recorded meetings.
Okay.
And then just keep the hard documents from the meeting with the minutes.
Okay. Did everybody get that?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's that might solve a few problems by being able to post the recording online.
Yeah.
Okay. So I didn't hear anybody wanting to change anything for the minutes or make any amendments. So I think we need a motion to approve the minutes as presented now.
I'll move anybody to like approve.
Thanks, Karen. Anybody second?
Second.
Oh, it was a tie. Heads or tails, Len?
Let's vote Republican. I'll second that.
All right. Well, Karen made the motion. Len seconded. All in favor of approving the minutes as presented, say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Minutes are approved. Thank you, Chase. And thanks for doing those too. I appreciate that. It was not a big help with the last meeting's minutes, so thank you. Okay, let's jump down to item number 5. I'll try to keep this short and sweet. There are a few important announcements that I want to bring up for the president's message tonight. And I know I'm going to butcher this person's name, so bear with me. But first off, I'd like to just announce that our long-range planning meeting with SDAO is officially scheduled. Our first work session is going to take place on the 29th of this month from 1 to 5. I just want to thank a couple folks from the city of Scappoose, City Recorder Susan Reeves and City Manager Alex Rains, for allowing us and coordinating with us to be able to utilize the council chambers for our meeting. They're also going to provide us with the Assistant to Public Works Director, Huel Whitehouse, for the work session to provide technical support. So our normal tech support gentleman is not available that day, so the city's going to help us out with that, which is greatly appreciated.
Yes.
This should be a great session. I look forward to beginning the conversations about our infrastructure, public relations, and other important items. I'd also like to inform everyone that in preparation for this project or for this process, we're going to solicit feedback from some individuals throughout the district. So what's gone on in the last week is SDAO has created a brief questionnaire. It's a couple questions. It's going to be sent out to a few members. It will also be posted on our website. These questionnaires will be anonymous. They're only going to be used for a brainstorming session. There's no statistical value to them at all. None of them hold any more weight than the other. They're just to help kind of guide and steer and create a place for us to start our conversation on the 29th. So the hope is that the landowners and landowner representatives will be able to provide feedback that we can then utilize to help steer our focus on the meeting on the 29th. Chase and I plan to arrive about 30 minutes early to get set up and prep the room. Anyone else that's available to show up around that time to help set up, you're more than welcome to. We'd appreciate it. There's a couple of these and they're not really related, so I'll stop with that. That was item number one. Anybody have any comments or questions about item number one? Okay. Number two, I'm sure Chase is going to touch on this in more detail in his manager's report, but we received notice from a couple members regarding some fallen trees in and along the Evans. First, I really appreciate those of you who are communicating these issues to us openly. And I want everyone to know that we're actively working on a game plan to get the trees out in the next few weeks. We'll be reaching out to landowners to coordinate a game plan to help get them plucked out. I'd also like to thank Joe and Marie Gadotti and also Kyle and Amanda Hoyt for working with us being the district and Chase and I and the contractors to get the Jackson Creek diversion area all cleaned out. That project was a success. Chase will discuss it in more detail in his report, so I don't want to steal his thunder, but it was a good success. And I really like seeing the coordination between the board, the management, the staff, landowners. Everybody was working together to accomplish a common goal, and it was great. So nicely done to everybody involved. And then in closing, I just want to personally thank Chase. He helped me the last couple of weeks accomplish two of the goals that I set when I took over this position. I've successfully toured and expanded my knowledge on each of our pumping stations and all the other infrastructure in the district, including the north and south tide gates. And I've also been trained in the art of starting up the Evans pumps. So those are two big goals that I set a few months back, and I really appreciate the time Chase has spent to help train me and expand my knowledge of our system. So thank you, Chase. Sorry, I kind of wrapped two and three together. Anybody have any comments, questions, concerns about two or three? Okay, that's all I have. Chase, take it away.
All right. So we'll move into the transactions. Janelle sent out the reports to everybody. I put them on the website. The only one I did find an error in here. There was, you can see it highlighted on the screen. This is only supposed to be $45. It's showing $334.20. I know it'll be caught in reconciliation of the books, but I'll let Janelle know about it. We'll get that corrected. Other than that, you can see the tree under logging and clearing. Those invoices came through. For the most part, it's basically just been power and kind of our field operations. So far, Janelle had requested... paper there. Janelle asked for a $19,000 state pool transfer. Today I just received an invoice from the mowing contractor for $7,800. So I just figured we just raise it up, round it off to $27,000 for the state pool transfer, because We'll most likely process that invoice around the 25th during payroll. Anybody have any questions?
Nope. Nice catch.
Kind of a run through our budget. The assessments you can see are low. It's this time of year that they come in. It's right after tax time, property taxes. Everybody knows our assessments tied directly to property taxes. So that's definitely going to be off. It'll jump up here in the next month or two. Big thing is you can see the logging and clearing budget. There's a little bit left on that. I kind of want to have some cushion for some spring stuff. The mowing is definitely going to jump up by that $7,800 I just mentioned. And there will be the Jackson Creek diversion bill coming through. I'm hoping it stays right around that $4,000. There was a little bit more time added to it. I'll go over that in the manager's report. But this is kind of where we're sitting on the P&L versus budget. And then, of course, the Evans, basically the invoice is the only invoice you see there is for the crane and some ancillary wear parts that I purchased as part of the change out and rebuild. So anybody have any questions?
No, that makes sense. And the mowing looks great. And the tree removal. I couldn't believe how many trees they removed. They were pretty busy. So
The only one you will see here on the bottom that we do need to address is I need to send a reimburse invoice to Cadman. That's bills we received from Cornforth. And so that'll get, hopefully I'll get that off here next week or two and we can get that reimbursed. I'm sure they want it in for budget year end. So basically, transactions approved as is in the state pool transfer of $27,000. Does that sound good to everybody? Really not.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, Amanda usually makes that motion.
Yeah.
All right. I move to accept the financials as presented and transfer $27,000 from the state pool account to the checking account.
I'll second.
Okay, let's have a vote on it. All in favor, say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, motion carries. Thank you, Chase and Amanda. Chase, I did have one question since we haven't quite jumped into seven yet, but as far as the PUD goes, do you know what kind of a rate schedule we're on? And not necessarily to the penny, but do we have a 2-year agreement with them where the rates stay the same or is there an anticipated increase for next year that you're aware of?
It sounded like the rates actually, we went through this during budget and it sounds like the rates are going to hold steady for this year. We did not receive, kind of scratched my brain on this one. We did not receive a rate increase, but they changed from a yearly demand charge to a monthly meter fee.
Oh, okay.
And so it's $20 a month now just to have the meter. And so it was in the end, it was basically ended up being a wash.
So, yeah.
But
I remember talking about it during the budget, but I forgot what it was. So. Okay. Thank you.
Okay, I guess it's the manager's report. All right, I didn't have this pulled up. Okay, so as everyone knows, Evans pumps. Actually, let me turn my video on. More official. So everyone knows Evans pumps are underway. The motor is actually done. Reed Electric said they'll store it in their shop for us till we need it. So we can install everything kind of at the same time. I did get an update from Bay Val this afternoon. I forwarded that on to Rob and Gary. They're waiting for the Belzona tech to help them install the metallurgic compound as part of the fuser repair. And then they're also waiting on the stainless steel shafting to arrive so they can complete the shaft, the upper and lower shaft housings. As Rob mentioned earlier, the Jackson Creek diversion was cleaned. The sediment and vegetation was removed. I also want to thank the Godottis for allowing us to use their farm as kind of the staging area, and also the Hoyts for allowing us to dump the spoils on their property. If anything, I think if we could in the future, it would be much better to run two trucks instead of one. Process, I think, would have went a lot faster, but even as it was, I think it turned out really well. Most of you have seen grass mowing on the perimeter levee. That wrapped up a couple of days ago. We were running into, I'm not sure if it's just from leftover fence lines or what have you, but we were running into several pieces of wire. We actually hit what I'm assuming was a duck blind down on the northern end of the levee, and it burned up his belts on his flail. And so that shut us down for about a week and a half, waiting for parts for that. Hold on, someone's trying to get in the waiting room here. 505-4691. With that, and then Rob and I, after about the day after the last meeting, we actually took a boat tour of the perimeter levee. Took quite a few pictures, kind of noted various different areas. I said there's really nothing that's any great concern, but there's several areas that I think should be monitored. I'd actually like to put together kind of a list, if you will, of areas that I think we need to just keep an eye on as the years progress. There's a couple areas that are, I don't want to call them anomalies, but they're there's one actually in front of the Lowe's property that, it's like one guy was installing riprap and he got fired and a new guy started, and there was about a 20-foot gap, and there was no, it's not like it's sloughed off or anything. It's just a piece of bare bank. And so it's something like that I think we need to really keep an eye on. The area down from the office, I think there were some pretty sizable trees there in the past before my time. And I think some of the root area has dissolved, if you will, and kind of left some voids. It's not up against the levee, it's actually kind of out into the river a little bit, so it's not a grave concern, but it's definitely something we want to keep an eye on. I had the Cherry Orchard pump station flow tested, waiting for the results on that. I talked to Bay Valve, apparently they have that ready to send back to us. Large rain event on November 4th. I thought it kicked off our winter pumping season, but the river's actually dropping again, and we're probably going to start draining to the north tide gates again. So probably won't have to run the Evans here and coming up soon. Basically, the Evans pumps are set to where they were last year. I haven't changed anything there. Everything else has kind of started up. We did this last week after the big rain events, check all the interior and exterior pumps more regularly, just knowing that the water coming towards them, you know, stuff that probably would not have normally drifted in. Just keep a lot closer eye on everything, make sure everything's running smoothly. Kind of the weed load at the Cherry subsided, but the Johnson's gotten bad, so we're dealing with that. The Honeyman pump, the Hoyts called me and said the water was deep one day, so I ran out there. After a little research, it finally had blown a fuse. So I ordered some more of those just in case to have them on hand. Basically, like Rob touched on, moving forward, the trees in the Santosh, I actually have an excavator rented for Monday to start tackling those. And then one of the things that I really want to jump on now that the levee is freshly mowed is the, I would call them the obstructions that he hit, car tires, old fence, I mean, you name it, he found it. So I'm making a point to go along and try to clean all this stuff up while the grass is short. the tow drains, we're still working on that. And then the sump configuration for the pump station, the Evans pump station, I actually got an email back today. Still kind of reading over it, reviewing it. Maybe some of the issues we're having there, they might have some solutions for it. And with that, I'm going to stop right there as we jump into personnel. Does anybody have any questions at this point?
No, it's a lot of work done last month. So I think you captured it all pretty well.
I guess we'll kind of jump into personnel. So on the agenda, we had the employee handbook. So I basically, what I've done is we received two employee handbooks, one from Miller Nash, that was from a municipality, I believe, and then one from SDAO HR Answers. The employee handbook from HR Answers was extensive, to say the least. The employee handbook from Miller Nash was a little more reasonable. And so what I've done is I've basically taken the Miller Nash handbook, and you guys will see this. I'm trying to kind of give you a heads up, because I'm going to send you this next couple days, is for the board to review, is I kind of went through and scratched out stuff that I felt were irrelevant. And then I added stuff that I thought was relevant, using some of Rob had sent over some stuff from Cal Portland, just kind of general, you know, guidelines for employment. And so when you see this, it'll be look similar to like what a redline copy comes through from Jeff Condit. I left everything in the handbook, but you'll see it scratched out and kind of trying to develop it specifically for the SDIC. We have some unique, you know, it's not one size fits all in these handbooks. So I tried to change it as best I could for the SDIC. And then I'll be sending that off here shortly. And I'd like the feedback from the board. And then hopefully we can then send it back to Miller Nash and make sure it passes the legal review. And then hopefully after that, maybe we'll have it for approval at the next meeting. And so I just want to kind of give everybody a heads up about that's going to be coming down. And then for the employee annual review planning, they're in December. And so as Karen said before, the board reviews me and then I'm supposed to review staff under. And so we'll basically, I think we'll follow the same process as last year. So Karen, did you want to add to any part of that? I know you're not employee anymore, but.
Personnel, yeah. But I think all I would say, did you mention that we're having, let's see here.
Yeah, on the 17th.
Is this, would we be adopting this eventually by resolution? That was my question. Is that the ultimate goal, Jeff Condit? Is that we would adopt this employee handbook by resolution?
Yes.
Okay, so we would need time to review and all that and make sure it's the way we want it. That's all.
And I also wanted to mention we have a meeting on the 17th between Rob, myself, and Karen to go over the employee annual reviews.
Yes, and that's not a decision making or any kind of meeting like that. It's just a meeting to explain to Rob what we have done in the past. That's all.
Yep. I appreciate the training.
And done in the past, meaning what we did last year.
1 year.
Yeah. Which Chase and I both agreed that process, it was a good basic process, but it had, you know, it has room for improvement. So we'll look forward to your expertise in this area, Rob.
I'm working on 1, 2, 3, 4 now for some guys at the plant. And so it's that time of year. So I'm fully prepared to learn how we do it. It'll be exciting. It's a great, great opportunity to provide feedback.
Does anybody have any questions on the personnel side of things?
Okay. I just want to say I appreciate the work that's being done on the handbook. I know that I think that was one of the first things we jumped on, and Chase has really kind of just taken the ball and ran with it since July. And there's a lot of work that goes into it to try to get, you know, the draft as accurate as possible. So I'm excited to see the draft, Chase. That's awesome.
Okay, we'll go back. Moving on, we got 408. So I received an email from the Army Corps of Engineers, the single phase 408 for the Multnomah County Yacht Club. At the time, I believe, it was Xfinity, Comcast was the one that was petitioning it, and they actually canceled it. They actually canceled it way back in July, if I remember correctly, and I didn't even get the email until the end of August. So that, for whatever reason, that one's done. I did get an email from Cadman. I'm not sure if you've been out to the north end of the district, but there has been some boring machines out there, and they've been conducting the geological borings. And there was actually a barge out in the river that was conducting the borings out for the loadout facility. So it'll be interesting to see the information we get back on those. I went by there today and they were still there, so I'm not sure what the turnaround time for that will be. Does anybody have any questions on that part of anything or anything to add?
Nothing here.
Okay, we'll jump into, make sure I'm on the right track.
Omar.
Yeah, accreditation. So, I guess two things on this. We did receive an email, or Rob received an email today and forwarded it on. The city of Scappoose has been in contact with West the last couple of days. Apparently they are running the new modeling, and I think they said the 21st, the week of the 21st is when they're hoping to have their draft map run. And so be interested to see what comes back on that. The second thing, last night, about 4:45 in the afternoon, I received an email from Susie Dahl at the county, and Savvy's Island, Multnomah County, Columbia County, and Savvy's Island Drainage was having their LOMAR meeting, and to basically inform the public of how they were going to move forward. I was able to attend the meeting. I tried to forward on to the board as quickly as possible. I don't know, did anybody else able to attend?
No.
Okay. So I was able to attend the whole meeting. It went really well. They basically just kind of explained the process, the thoughts that went into the LOMAR for Savvy's Island and the IDA, because as everyone knows, Savvy's Island is going through the same process we are. They're just a little bit ahead of us, if you will. The thing that I did see here, and I'm going to share, so this is a website. Can everybody see that on your screen?
Yep, I can see it now.
So what's happened is it looks like Multnomah County has kind of taken the charge on this. About 60% of Savvy's Island drainage lies in Multnomah County. About 30% or 40% lies on the northern half is in Columbia County. So on the meeting last night, they had Columbia County, Multnomah County, Savvy's Island drainage, FEMA, and a bunch of the planning commission people from Multnomah County. And so what they've done is they've developed this website, and this is through Multnomah County. It's not through Savvy's Island Drainage. And what they've done is they've kind of put down the process of how this LOMAR is going to be completed, ways to reach out and ask questions, if you will. I think this is actually a really good idea, that something we might try to mimic. If we don't mimic it, it would be nice if Columbia County would try to mimic it for us, or, you know, maybe take the lead in this process like Multnomah County has. And so, but during the meeting, they kind of went through it, and James at West, who happens to be the same person that's doing our IDA and our mapping, is doing the same for Savvy's Island. He gave a really good presentation, kind of backing it down into what I call, you know, layman's terms or stuff I can understand. And I thought it sounded really good, and I thought he did a good job kind of presenting the process and how they went about generating the mapping and why they use the inputs they did. And they're supposed to be, as you see right here, it says presentation from the meeting posted shortly. So I'm hoping they'll put the video up, because I know it was recorded. It was a Zoom video, just like we do. And so I'm hoping that that meeting will be presented and something that we can definitely use. And being that Columbia County was on this meeting as well, they'll definitely know that this process, as they're kind of going through it as well. I mean, Multnomah County's taking the lead, but Columbia County is definitely part of the process as well. So that was an interesting meeting. I wish we might have had a little bit better heads up. I was actually glad I happened to check my phone. I wasn't around my computer, and I happened to see the email, and so I was able to attend. So is there any questions on this?
Can you tell me what Susie's title is again at the county?
She is, I believe she's the director of the Planning Commission.
Thank you.
And Hayden Richardson, also at Columbia County, is a deputy planner. And they had, so Multnomah County, I tried to write this down as they were going. So they had, I guess, Allison Boyd is the Multnomah County lead planner. And then they had Carol Johnson was the planning director. And they had an Arlene Farrell, who was the transportation planning director. So they had a pretty good sized team on board for this process and how they're going to work through it for the Sauvies Island drainage. And I know, I believe it's the Sandy Drainage, SDIC, Sandy Drainage Improvement Company, would be the easternmost of the Multnomah County Drainage District, has completed this task as well. And so I think Multnomah County kind of has a good idea how the process is completed.
Very good, Chase.
Anybody have any questions, comments, concerns?
Is this the link you were going to send out, Chase?
Yeah, so this is inside of the link. This is the meeting invite that I sent you.
Oh, gotcha.
This is the website I went to. This right below this public meeting. I don't know when they announced this, but I guess it doesn't matter. But there was a link here, that there was a Zoom link right below public meeting that you could click on.
You think that they're going to, you might already said this, sorry, I was multitasking, but do you think they're going to post their meeting online so that it can be watched again?
Yeah, and that's what I'm hoping. It says presentations from the meeting to be posted shortly right here below. And then it says, if you want access, you can email this SILW accreditation at multnomahcounty.us.
Gotcha. Yep. I see it now. Okay.
Yeah.
Perfect. Yeah, it's interesting stuff. So
yeah,
I'm glad that there's such a big presence from the county, our county.
Yeah. And there was, I don't have they had a big slideshow presentation. It sounds like they're trying to get this wrapped up by the end of 2023. So there's a 90-day comment period. It says right here in this, Multnomah County is required, and it says there's a 90-day public comment period, and map showing the firm revisions can be reviewed online. And so that's their maps essentially separate drainage districts, but their maps look exactly like ours. They're the same context, the same color. And so they're, if you've seen ours and you look at these, they make sense. They're pretty much identical. All right.
I'm glad there's somebody at the county that we can talk to about this process when the time comes, because it seemed like for a while there, I'm not sure we knew who we were supposed to talk to.
Yeah, and as the process proceeds forward, I think it's helpful that we're just a little bit behind Sauvies Island, because Multnomah County, I think definitely, you know, they're leading the charge on this, as you would suspect. Mm-hmm. They have more resources in Columbia County. But I think it'll also be a large help that the individuals at the Columbia County will have completed this process, or will at least be very familiar with the process as we move forward, which it sounds like, given the mapping that the city of Scappoose will hopefully be wrapping up shortly, that this process will be moving forward and the people involved will be knowledgeable of how it's going to, I guess, come to completion.
Okay, great.
Thanks for being on that, especially getting on, you know, last minute like that. I appreciate you doing that and reporting back.
All right. So best practices, I basically left the Third Amendment in there. It is on the website now, so if everybody wants to see it, the clean version is there. And with that, jump into the SWOT analysis. Strategic long-range planning, as Rob had mentioned earlier, we have set the meeting with SDAO and SDIC on November 29th, 1-5. And as also he noted, is there will be a questionnaire going out to several members, but keeping with the idea of all members matter, not one more than the other, we will make the questionnaire available on the website. So if you would like to download it and turn it in or do what have you, that will be an option as well. And so with that, and then I'm also working on the...
Chase.
Yeah.
Just on that real quick, I don't think I elaborated on it enough. I'm just going to keep it short, but there was, I just want everybody on the call to know kind of the process that went in to generating the list of the people that are going to receive the questionnaire from SDAO. Basically what we did was we just took the regulars, as I like to call them. We tried to get a representative sample of folks that have attended the meetings, starting with the annual members meeting in July. We took all of those folks and put them on a spreadsheet, and then we basically just eliminated any redundancies. So for example, it wouldn't make sense to send 4 questionnaires to Northwest Aggregates, one to me and one to Debbie and one to Tom and one to, you know, whoever. So we struck those three out of the 4 people down, and we're just going to send it to Debbie, for instance, so that there wasn't multiple questionnaires going to the same family or the same entity or the same business or whatever. So we wanted to keep, at the end of the day, we wanted to just kind of provide a wide range of feedback from landowners, from developers, from corporations, from individuals. We tried to get kind of a robust group of people to give us kind of the broadest, you know, 30,000 foot view of some insight to guide our meeting. So I just wanted, in case there's any questions.
Includes our government agencies too, that we work with.
Oh yeah. Thank you for saying that. Yep, we did. We had some redundancies with the city and the county, and so we made sure all of the entities, at least one questionnaire, only one questionnaire went to those.
So, but the questionnaire is available to view on the website, right? And if somebody wants to fill it out, it's there.
Not yet. Once I get the final of the questionnaire, then I'll put it up there.
Okay. The spirit of it is not to overload us with multiple questionnaires from the same entity. That's what Rob's trying to describe, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Thanks for summarizing that. That was well said. And then Chase, when we get this on the website and people download it, if they want to, what should they just email it to the SDIC manager website or to me, or to, how do you think that should work?
I'm going to put on there multiple options. They can submit it through the contact us through the website. They can also just mail it to us, drop it in the mailbox. They can email it. I mean, however, I'm going to give several options of how to complete the task. So
thank you.
I guess the spirit of the whole thing is we want to make sure that any member in the district that wants to be able to participate in this process, has the capability to participate in the process. We don't want to exclude anyone. That's not the spirit of the SDIC. So.
No. That's right. That's why we have a questionnaire. And I also want to mention that there is another questionnaire that's going to the board. I don't know if it's the same version or not, but Terry informs me that she is sending a questionnaire to the board, but it's not something that you need to return to her. It's just an outline of what she will be talking to each board member about. And she is going to be reaching out soon to board members for a 15 to 20 minute conversation. So the questionnaire is just to help you prepare yourself for that conversation. Is that clear?
Yep.
Okay. And I don't think there's anything else. I'm just looking through my email thread here with Terry, and I don't think there was anything else that she, we just need to make sure we notice the meeting properly, the one on the 29th, which I think Chase is already on top of that. And I think that is, I didn't have much to add on this because it's already pretty well organized. Yeah, I think that's it.
Okay. Thank you. Nothing new on the, sorry, Chase, what are we on? SCEPU Stormwater Master Plan?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, sorry, one thing. Did we talk about this last month, but did we tell you that George Dunkel is also going to be there? Just so you know. Does everybody know that? Okay.
She mentioned that in one of her,
yeah.
I don't know if she mentioned it in the public meeting, though. It might have just been mentioned to the board via email or something.
George Dunkel is going to join her to conduct our work session on the 29th. He's an SDAO senior consultant also, and actually lives out here in SCEPU's, and he did a workshop for us before on boardsmanship. And that will not increase the cost to us, by the way.
That's fantastic. I'm excited to meet him. I've heard the board and the public talk a lot of good things about him, so, and her, but.
Sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
I guess with that, double check the agenda. Rental home, okay. Come back in here. So rental home, I really don't have anything to add.
The rent was deposited today, and I talked to the property manager, and she says we're all good.
Subpoena compliance. So basically, I got everything sent off to Jeff. I don't know. Jeff, you want to give us an update?
Sure. I have not gotten everything yet to the lawyers who have made the request. They've been very patient with me. It's over 15,000 pages of documents, and I have to go through them to make sure there isn't any privileged or confidential information in it before we turn them over. And we have been spending about a week getting the documents into a situation where I can actually search them. So I don't have to go through every 15,000 pages of those. So we've got that done today. So my goal is either to get them into the lawyer tomorrow, or if I have to work on the weekend, on Monday. There isn't a lot of privileged information in this material. Most of it is public record, but there's some legal opinions and some potential employment things that we want to exclude. And then we'll drop them in a share file for that the attorney has provided us, and we'll be done at least for now with that portion of the request. So that's where we are.
Jeff, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Okay, so I hope I'm not sounding too naive when I ask you this, but who's paying for this process?
It, you know, we are not a party to this case, as you know, but they have requested, one of the parties to the case has requested all of our records relating to the IDA since 2015, plus any communications to and from the Gadotti's or Means Nursery to us, plus a few other things. So the good news is we had gathered most of that for the WRLC records request last year, and we had to update that. The bad news is, you know, Marie was on the board for 4 years, so we're talking hundreds of emails. And so we did get them to reduce the scope a little bit there. So I think we've got everything, and I think we'll provide it. But when you get a subpoena, what you get is a $50 travel fee to bring the records, and that's it. So it's not like a public records request where we do have the option of charging for it.
So the SDIC has to pay Miller Nash for you to prepare this subpoena for us.
The subpoena.
Is that correct? Yes. The landowners. Okay.
Now I am going to substantially cut the bill because it is, you know, we've already did this once before for WRLC, and if we had retained those documents in searchable form, it wouldn't have taken us so long. Plus, a lot of the work is being done by our staff, which we don't bill you for. So I'm not expecting this bill to be even in remotely within the vicinity of what we had to do when we did the original records request, but it will cost something.
Well, good question. And thanks for clarifying that, Jeff.
Yeah, thank you.
So we wanted to add either 7II or 7IB or 7 something, right, Karen?
7I, two little I's.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you want to jump on that, Chase or Karen? Go ahead.
Yeah, I'll jump on it. So what we had is we finally were able to get Western Resources Legal Center wanted to meet with us and talk over some of their concerns that they had issued with the letter. And we finally got everybody kind of together where we can meet at the office. Of course, it's can't have a whole board meeting because we don't, it's not a public meeting. It's just going to be myself, Jeff Condit, Rob, and I believe Gary, and then James from West. Logging in via Zoom to hopefully answer a lot of the questions, concerns, and maybe get that alleviated. And that meeting's on the 22nd, I believe. Mm-hmm. So we just kind of want to let everybody know about that meeting that will be coming up. Is there any questions on that?
Is there any issue with, I assume not, but I'm going to sound naive now. Is there any issue with two board members, legal counsel, and the general manager being in the same room at the same time? Talking about this?
It will be a public meeting. It's an information sharing session.
Perfect. We won't
be bringing back any recommendations to the board. And if there's some action items that come out of this meeting, we'll bring them back to the full board in a regular meeting.
Understood.
No decisions will be made, no recommendations formulated, nothing. It's just information.
Perfect. Does that mean that we're not limited to two if others chose to be there?
I would prefer not to have a quorum there, because if there are three board members and we're talking about any kind of district business, then that's potentially a public meeting. So I prefer to see it at two.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Mercury, like I mentioned in the last meeting, this thing has reared its head again. Still in the process of responding to the follow-up questions that they sent over. We got a 6-month extension. I hate to say it got pushed to the back of the list, but it kind of did. There's a lot of other stuff I've been dealing with as of late, but it's on my radar and it's hopefully get dealt with.
I think we made it off the agenda for one meeting, right?
Yes, one meeting. Actually, you know what? I think I forgot it.
We checked it off and jumped back
I
on. Did.
I know I forgot it.
I can't imagine why.
Yeah. I guess with that, the taxes, we did receive a receipt, IRS received on October 29th. So those should be tied off and done.
Good.
Back to the agenda.
Excellent work, Chase.
Yeah, so the special board meeting, we've already touched on that. The next monthly board meeting is the 14th of December. That would be our normally regularly scheduled. And then the other thing is, if we want to talk to try to set a date for the annual meeting of the members now, probably not the worst idea. I don't know if we want to talk about it, come up with some ideas. It sounds like Thursday. Is it Tuesdays and Thursdays, Rob, that usually open at the city?
Oh, I got to find that notepad. I'd like to say, yeah, I think it was generally Tuesdays or Thursdays, but there was a lot of caveats in there.
I think they did their planning meeting on Thursday.
Oh, that's right.
It's like twice a month. They have a planning commission.
Oh, sorry, Lynn. I didn't mean to talk over you. See if I have that scheduled. So there, yeah, I think, yeah. So to answer your original question, I think we should have a discussion about it tonight. I'd like to at least narrow down some dates and times, or a date and time that works. So we can at least, you know, reach out to the city, make sure the room's available. And I know you've got a lot of work on the back end with getting mailers sent out and everything. So everything starts with a date. So let's look at that. Sorry, I'm just opening up schedule.
Yeah, don't worry. I'm working on it here. Okay. I thought it was Mondays and Tuesdays were usually the better.
Monday is the city council meetings. It's like the first and third Monday.
That's right. First and third Monday. Thinking, what if we shoot for like the 21st? Are we Karen?
I'm sorry. I'm out of town.
Yeah, what are you out of town? What's your date again? I'm sorry.
I'm occupied the 16th through the 21st.
Okay.
And also the 24th. But I would be available the week before or the week after, or the 22nd.
What about the 14th? Night of the
Valentine's Day.
Man. I know your wife, and she's going to kill you.
Oh, Chase.
Hey, hold on. Stop recording.
See you in divorce court.
I really want that one accurately reflected in the minutes, please.
No.
That's funny. That is funny. So let me – in the past – was there any, before the COVID deal, was there one day that we typically would do it? Was it like the first Monday in February, or the third Thursday in February, or was it just any time in February?
Gary, that'd be your call. You remember? Or Jeff?
Well, the bylaws say you have to have it in February unless you decide to move it. And of course, you've moved it for the last 3 years. And I think it was in the... my recollection, and some of you have been on the board longer than me, it was during the third week in February. So it wasn't early, it was later. But that's my recollection. Some of the board members who've been on longer than I've been around.
Third week of February is what I remember.
From my recollection, that's accurate.
Sorry, there's a weird delay on my end. I apologize. Gary, say that again.
I just said from my recollection, that's accurate, that we were like the third week in February.
Okay.
So that could be the 22nd or the 23rd if you want me there.
You want to shoot for the, well, let's do this. Let's 22nd or 23rd, 222 or 2.
And if you want to do, if you could consider the first week of February as the half week there, we could do it the week before, like the 15th, 16th, somewhere in there. Not the 16th, sorry. 15th or 22nd or 23rd.
That's the day after Valentine's, Karen, because people may be out.
Yeah. You know. Celebrate the whole month.
Yeah, well,
we have, you know, if city council is the first and third Monday of the month, the 13th theoretically should be open.
Yeah.
Monday the 13th?
Yeah.
That'd be good.
Monday the 13th. Like it.
Was it just me or was our last annual meeting on a Monday? I thought it was.
27.
Oh. Isn't there a calendar for the city's room?
That's what I'm looking at, but it looks like they're posting the events that have happened, but I don't see up through and the schedule reflects all the way up to December 8th of 2022, but I don't see anything after that. Let's see if I can go to 2023. Apologize, the internet here is lightning fast. Oof.
One gig.
Are you on the city's website, Rob?
Yeah. And the only thing I'm seeing, I searched it from, it defaulted to May of 22 to December of 23. And the only thing I show for them in 23 is on 110, they're having their 50-year stakeholder advisory committee. So it doesn't look like they've preloaded 2023 yet with all of their stuff. So let's shoot for that. Let's shoot for, I'm trying to find the email that I got to real quick that she kind of outlined their schedule. I apologize for those in the public that are waiting, but I was not prepared to look this up. So I apologize. So let's do that. Let's just look at, in the essence of time and stuff, let's look at Monday the 13th, Chase. I'll reach out to our friends at the city tomorrow and see if it's available. And if it is, I will send out an email to the board and you and Jeff. Let you know it's available.
Can we tentatively approve that meeting right now?
As a placeholder, I think so. Karen, what are your thoughts?
Sure. I mean, I guess we could always change it, but.
That way Rob could have the authority to just go ahead and book it.
Right. Yeah.
And is there anything that requires us to have it at city council? I know we always have in the past, but.
Just the space available.
And the virtual participation was
virtual,
right. Yeah, we have to have a virtual participation.
Okay.
Opportunity.
Well, we probably should check with Todd before the city. He sounds way more important. that tech support seems priceless. So, okay, well, let's do that. Let's make a motion to tentatively schedule our 2023 meeting of the landowners members for February 13th, Monday, 2023.
Is that a motion? I'll second it.
Okay. All in favor? Aye.
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 There we go. Motion carries. Okay, I'll do that. I'll do some legwork on that tomorrow, and then I'll circle back to everybody to see what I hear.
Great.
Meeting of the members. Meeting of the members.
And Chase, in the past, you've had assistance, you know, in preparing. So do you have thoughts about that?
I already talked to Lori Mapes, and she said she'd be more than happy to help us out on a volunteer basis to do her normal quorum and all of that stuff.
Are you kidding? That's cool.
Yeah, so she said she would give us a hand doing that. The mailing is basically going to just be a retread. It's the same roster as last year, so it's going to be exactly the same. The only thing is it's probably a little smaller because we won't have the bylaws included in the mailing, so it should be smaller as well. So, and the reports are basically, I already have all the the county roster and everything else, so we're just, it's because it's only been what, 6-7 months, 8 months,
yeah, well.
So
Chase, I have a question in aid of my calendar here. The regular meeting is currently scheduled for February the 9th. I'm assuming we would have instead the regular board meeting after the landowners meeting on the 13th, since you might have some new board members. Is that correct, or were you planning to go ahead with the regular meeting on the 9th?
Yeah, that's a good point. Should we amend that last motion or make another motion to just add that board members meeting to the 13th, or yeah, the 13th as well?
Yeah.
Okay. What do you suggest, amending it, Jeff, or making another one?
Well, the motion already passed, so what I would do is make a motion to move the regular meeting date from February 9th to February 13th, immediately following the landowners meeting.
Okay. Yeah, so I'll make the motion to move the regular monthly board meeting scheduled for the 9th of February to immediately after the meeting of the landowners on the 13th of February.
Second.
Thanks, Gary. Okay, all in favor, say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Jeff, because I think I would have been in a whole lot of trouble with a lot of board members if I had two meetings, one on the 9th and one right on the 13th. More trouble than Chase would have been in for missing
Belfast. Speaking of meetings, at some point in December, as we mentioned up in employee review planning, and now I just remembered it, we're going to need to, the board is the one that, according to our process, the board is the one that reviews Chase. And so rather than calling a special meeting in December for that, would we just do that at the end of our monthly meeting?
That's what I believe we did last year. We put an executive session.
Right.
Okay.
I think we pushed it all the way to the end so the public could didn't have to sit in the waiting room for it.
Okay. And that means we need to have your whole paperworky part done before then.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Good thing we're meeting soon to talk about how to do it.
Yeah, yeah, perfect.
That's coming right up.
Okay, good point. Good point. I like that. Yeah, I like putting it at the end of that agenda and doing it at the end. That's perfect. The public doesn't have to wait, so it's great.
Okay,
so a couple action items that I have, and then Karen, feel free to jump in, or Chase, or Amanda, Gary, Lynn. So Chase is going to look at the Dawn's rental expense for a couple hundred bucks more than what it's supposed to be and get that caught up or reversed. we, let's see, we already did the transfer for the state pool. So Amanda's got that. Chase is going to work on sending the invoice to Cadman for Cornforth work. I still have on my action items from last meeting, and I haven't done this yet, is to set up a conversation with Dean Chase so we can pick his brain about the toe drain conversation. And then let's see what else.
I would just say, I would just remind board members to be looking out for an email from Terry Dressler.
Yeah, good call. This should be any time now, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then this employee handbook, it's going to be a draft that we're going to get to look at before the next meeting. What's the timeline on that? Are we supposed to be reading that through and then adopting it by resolution next month? Or what do you think, Chase?
That would be ideal, but if it gets pushed a month later, it's...
That's fine. If you're sending it out, board members should just be looking for that too.
Anything else? Okay.
This is for, so the checks, there's checks sitting at the office that need to be signed. I'm sure Gary and Amanda are probably going to do that. The second thing is, Amanda, if you could do me a huge favor and print off the minutes from the website or your email, what have you, and sign them and drop them at the office when you go sign checks. That would be awesome.
I can do that.
Thank you.
Perfect. Any other action items before we close? Gary, you got anything down there?
Nope. I think we're all good.
All right. Well, I appreciate, like always, everybody's time tonight. I know this one went a little longer than the last couple, but there's a lot of good stuff came out of this meeting. So thank you very much for your time and all your hard work and all these agenda items. It's been a busy month, and it's going to be a busy month for November too. So everybody have a great evening. With that said, let's go ahead and adjourn the meeting officially at, 7:21 on the 10th.
Thank you, Rob.